We have now come to the second part of our study on significant cities in Scripture. Jerusalem, second part or part two. Now, I'm not sure how many of you have been to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a very beautiful city, and you have not been, perhaps you would like to make it into your bucket list. A list that you will have before you kick the bucket. I've been there twice already, but my advice to all of you who intend to go there, do not go there with a tourist group. You're wasting your money, you're wasting your time. Make sure that when you go there, you have somebody who is well taught in the scriptures and who can open up the scriptures where you visit and make that place alive, because then you see the scriptures coming into your living environment, as you see what it actually was at that time and what it actually is now. The Jews have been praying at the Western Wall, or what is commonly known as the Wailing Wall, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Messiah to come back, for them to establish a temple again, which was destroyed nearly 2,000 years ago, so that they could start worshipping, and to wait for the Messiah to come. And day by day, these Jews would go to that wall to pray that these things would be fulfilled. And as late as just a few years ago, the Jews were allowed from all over the world to return to Jerusalem, not to Jerusalem, but to Israel, to establish a state. And they got their independence in 1948, but they did not get control of Jerusalem. And it was later on, in a very miraculous war, known as the Six-Day War, that in 6 days, miraculously, while the countries around them, beginning from Egypt, and then going to the other side, Lebanon, Syria, and so on, attacked them. In 6 days, they were devastated, and Israel won the victory, and therefore annexed Jerusalem. And for the first time, Jerusalem came under Jewish control after all the nearly 2,000 years of being out of Jerusalem. Now, that was wonderful, and that's how Jerusalem Day came into being. But with that, you would know that 4 or 5 days ago, there had been serious repercussions. We find the United Nations rebuking Israel for killing hundreds of people and injuring thousands, because Hamas was pushing the Palestinian women and children to the borders to attack the Israelites to kill them. But that was not revealed. What was revealed was the Israelites were very cruel in killing men, women and children, whom the Hamas tribes, the Hamas state, pushed forward in order to cover them as they move. So we see this onslaught against Jerusalem. Now, as we see all this going on, what actually is happening? Is Israel that cruel? Well, one has to go to the other side to hear the story. So, for now, we are considering Jerusalem as revealed to us in the scriptures. Psalm 87 verses 2 and 3. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. That will be Jerusalem. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Today, Jerusalem may not be that glorious, but indeed, glorious things are spoken of. But before these glorious things can come about, Israel, Jerusalem, would have to go through great destruction before they could achieve this glorious status that was promised them. So, last week, I introduced to you the past history of Jerusalem, how it came about, the city, what it was, the connotation, what it meant, its origin, its occurrences, that the word, the name Jerusalem occurs over 700 times in the scriptures alone. Its oldest form, Salem, which is interpreted as peace from Shalom in Hebrew chapter 7, and therefore Israel is normally, generally recognized as the city of peace. Unfortunately, it is a city of no peace all these years, but it will be in time to come. Then there are its other names which denote to us its unique position before God, that it is Zion, the city of David, and that would make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. That David, in his early days, had come together and bringing the northern tribe and the southern tribe together and made Jerusalem the city of David, which he later named as the city of God. Putting God's name upon the city, therefore declaring it, as many of the Israelites do now, that it is the eternal city and they will never, never give up Jerusalem. Then we see why Jerusalem is so special. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, when God said in his sovereign will that he has chosen the Jews, he has chosen Israel to be his beloved people. It's of his own choice. It's not because Jerusalem or Israel was a big, was numerous, that there were a lot of people and the biggest country, biggest state. No, God said, you were among the very fewest, yet I have chosen you because I love you. He set his love upon Israel, and that was his sovereign will, of his own choice, of his own will. On the other hand, while God displayed to them his sovereign will, he also told them that you must obey my commandments to enjoy the fulfillment of my will for you. If you disobey, I will curse you. And God gave a list of curses that would come upon them. And among them, he would take them out of Jerusalem to punish them. And so, we now come on to today's study. The present controversy concerning Jerusalem. Now, what is happening to Jerusalem now? In order to understand what is happening, we have to go back first to what happened in the past. Now, what's happening now at this moment? Well, we all know that the United States opened its embassy in Jerusalem on the 14th of May, just 2 weeks ago. And that created a lot of problems, so that today we find, even now at this moment, there is a lot of dissatisfaction, complaint from the United Nations against Israel. U.S. would be the first one to start embassy in Jerusalem. Paraguay has followed, and another country, I've forgotten which one. So, one country has already started, and another one is going to follow, and I think more countries will be following the example of the United States to set embassies in Jerusalem. It's very important, because that is a recognition that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Very, very important. And that's why the Palestinians and all the Islamic countries are against it, because they claim in the UNESCO resolution that Jerusalem has no heritage connection whatsoever with Israel, that it belongs to the Islamic nations. Is that so? I already proved to you last week that it was not so. So that is the very center of the controversy today. So in order to understand this whole situation behind this present controversy, we must go back to the past history of Israel and the prophecies concerning it. If we can prove that indeed there have been prophecies concerning Israel that have been fulfilled, those prophecies or that part of the prophecy that could be verified because it has already occurred concerning the parts regarding the items of fulfillment, if they have already been fulfilled, then we would expect the rest of the prophecy would be fulfilled as well in the present or in the future. And this is my role this morning, to show to you if what has happened in the past has been fulfilled, that part of the prophecy, the rest of the part of the prophecy must be fulfilled because the past has been fulfilled and therefore the future will be fulfilled. Let's take, for example, Jeremiah's prophecy concerning Jerusalem being burnt down and the inhabitants deported to Babylon. The prediction by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 25:11-12 regarding the desolation of the land. Now remember this, that God had taken Israel out from the wilderness 40 years wandering, and that is another proof of God's punishment, that when God decided that they should be punished 40 years, God punished them 40 years. And at the end of the 40 years, God took them out into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. But now God says, I will make that land that you were occupying, flowing with milk and honey, that land desolate. Why? Because you disobeyed. How? We shall find out. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. This whole land, supposedly flowing with milk and honey, bearing much fruit, would now become a desert. Desolate. And all the people, in order to make the land desolate, would be deported out. And how would it be done? God would anoint a king in the north, the king of Babylon, to come to Jerusalem to destroy the people there, to deport the people there and take them out. Now that was not just a neighbor. Babylon was very far from Jerusalem, and Babylon would come from the north down, as described in the prophecy, to attack Jerusalem and take the people out of the land so that the land could be desolate and be a desert. And the land would be like that for 70 years. Again, God prescribed the time. 40 years, those under 21 should be walking in the wilderness. No, sorry. Those over 21 will be walking in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years, it was so. Now for 70 years, all of you will be taken out of the land so that the land could have the rest. And who will do it? The king of Babylon. He will do it to punish you for your iniquity. Now, 70 years, some people would calculate the 70 from 586 to 516, some from 606 to 536. Whatever it is, these 70 years could be calculated from the first time the people were deported, because there were three deportations. First time they were deported to the last one, the end when they went out of the captivity, or would refer to the empire of Babylon from 606 to 536. Whatever it be, the people would not go back to the land for 70 years, and the land would be deserted for 70 years because of their iniquity. Now, In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 18 to 19, God described how this destruction will come about. Jerusalem will be burnt down. All the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon, that is Nebuchadnezzar. The last king of Judah, Zedekiah, was very proud. He disobeyed Nebuchadnezzar, making him very angry, so that he sent his people to destroy Jerusalem. And what was very hurting was the temple was destroyed. The temple and all its furniture, all the golden items in the temple, they were taken out of Jerusalem into Babylon because they were valuable. The people then were deported stage by stage. 3 deportations. They all went to Babylon. And the land would have its rest for 70 years. And they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burned all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. So the wall was destroyed, and that's why later on we find, as we read, Nehemiah came to rebuild the wall. And Zerubbabel came back to rebuild the temple. And so the temple was destroyed, the wall was destroyed, Jerusalem became destruction. So we see there Jeremiah's prophecy fulfilled. But we want to emphasize another aspect of this captivity. It was not so much the people who were being punished. It was that the land of Jerusalem should be liberated. Why? What had the land done? Or what had the people do to the land of Israel at Jerusalem? And Israel, of course. The reality of the desolation of the land we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 20-21, which reads, "And then carried he, the king of Babylon, away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons, until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years, that will be 70 years. 70, 60, therefore plus 10 is 70. Not a few elements in this prophecy which are very, very important. One, it was Babylon that would take them away. And Babylon was the enemy of Israel, and God made Babylon, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, his very instrument, his very tool, his very anointed, so to speak, to punish Israel. God made use of an unbeliever to punish his people. God can do that. Second, that punishment would last until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. The punishment would last until God will raise another king, and that will be the king of Persia, to conquer the king of Babylon, so that the king of Persia could follow up with the program that God had planned. Until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. Now, what's that now? This is not a punishment on the people alone. It is a punishment on the people for not keeping God's instructions concerning the land. And they will be taken out of the land for 70 years until the land enjoyed the Sabbaths. Land enjoying a Sabbath as well? Didn't God say that all men must keep the Sabbath, but now the land must keep the Sabbath? No. The people must keep the land its Sabbath. I'll explain that later on. For as long as the land enjoys her Sabbath, the people are away from the land, then the land would enjoy its Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Okay, now let's see what's all this about. The reason for the deportation from the land. Firstly, in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 2 to 4, God gave definite instructions concerning the Sabbath of the land. God instructed the people of Israel, 6 years shalt thou sow in thy field, but in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord, thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prime thy vineyard, and so on. In other words, nothing must be sown. 6 years they could work out the land. They could plant their vegetables, they could plant their fruit trees, but on the seventh year, give the land of rest. And God will give them double what they could produce in the land for the 6 year, double, because on the seventh year they could do nothing. They must give the land a rest. So on the 6 year, God promised them a double product, a double fruit of what they could get. They were too greedy. They would not give the land that 7th year rest. But on top of that, God gives another instruction, the Jubilee Sabbath for the land instituted. Leviticus 25, 8 to 11. Number 7 Sabbaths of years. 7 times 7 years. Cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound. You shall hallow the 50th year. What does that mean? Apart from the 7th year, they must give the land a rest. Every for 7 times 7 years. After the 49th year, the 50th year, they must give the land a rest. 49th year a rest, 50th year another rest, but God promised that during those 2 years, God would give them the produce that would last them while they did not work out the land in the last 2 years. Give the land a rest. The land needs a Sabbath. They refused. There's no record in the Old Testament of Israel ever keeping this instruction and this institution. Therefore, God took them out of the land so that the land could enjoy its Sabbath. God took them out for 70 years. In other words, 70 times 7 for 490 years, Israel never obeyed this command. They did not give the land any rest. They worked the land year in and year out. And God said, since you do not give the land a rest, I'll take you out completely from the land so that the land can be desolate, that it can have its Sabbath rest. So, 490 years. During the 490 years, God did not take any action. They thought they could get away with it. There was no punishment. They thought everything was all right. I wonder whether it can be like us too. That God had declared a day in the week for us to have a rest. And the rest perhaps should be given to Him on the Lord's Day for us to come together. But perhaps we are too taken up with working on the day when we should give Him that day. So that we work, we labor, we work on a Sunday, the Lord's Day. And the Lord doesn't seem to take any action. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. The Lord will have His own back later on. And now I realize what these environmental people are saying about keeping the environment free, keeping the climate cool. Why is the warming of the climate now going on in the world today, which is a great concern of the environmentalists? Because they have spoiled God's land. And I'm sure God will take action someday. And God has taken action, I think, in certain areas of this globe. Restoration to the land and of the land. When Babylon took the people out of the land to Babylon, there was no more king for Judah. There was no more king for Israel. That, beginning with the Babylonian Empire, began the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles, which are pictured in the dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, in the golden image that he dreamt of in the land. From the time when Babylon took over, there will be no more king for Judah and Israel. Zedekiah was the last king. And up to today, there will be no king for Israel until Christ comes to be their king. So begin the times of the Gentiles from Jerusalem to Middle Persia to Greece and then to Rome. The empires had been depicted in the dream of the of Nebuchadnezzar in the golden image, and everything had been fulfilled. The civilizations and the empires that came about had been fulfilled. So, until the last part, the base of the image, when the rock will come and knock down that image. But before that, there would be a parenthesis, as we shall find later on. It was only partially fulfilled, because the base of the image would be separated from the feet and the toes in the fulfillment of the empires that would come. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles. That will be from Nebuchadnezzar to the time it has not ended yet, until Christ will come and set up his kingdom, the times of the Gentiles. Do not mix up with the times of the fullness of the times of the Gentiles that we read in Romans 11:25. That refers to the fullness of the time of the church, which is the parenthesis inserted between the base of the image and the feet and toes. There would be a lapse in the fulfillment of the prophecy. The church would come in. The times of the Gentiles would be the end, or the fullness of the Gentiles would be the end of the church age. The church age commenced in Jerusalem. By the way, today is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. Today, many churches observe Pentecost Sunday. I'm not sure whether Mr. Pitbank has all these things in mind or not, making me to come here to speak on Jerusalem, Jerusalem Day, making me to come here to speak on the church and Jerusalem Pentecost Day. You may call it coincidence, you may call it a chance, but I believe it to be so God's overruling power in all things. Okay, so the church commenced in Jerusalem at Pentecost. The church started spreading from Jerusalem. Thou shalt be witnesses first in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And it will end and consummated in the new Jerusalem that will come about. Jerusalem will play a very important part in the lives of Israel and even the church. Well, we see the prediction by Jeremiah fulfilled. Now let's see Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks. Another tremendous prophecy. This prophecy had to do with Daniel's vision that was given to him of 70 weeks a period of 70 weeks. And we read that after 7 weeks and 72 weeks, that will be 7 weeks, 7, 72, 62, together 69. The weeks there should represent years. So 69 times 7 will give you 483 years. Then it says there, at the 69th week, Messiah will be cut off, meaning Messiah will die. And that will be the time. Thank you very much. Thank you. And that will be the time when Jesus will die on the cross. 69 weeks or 483 years from the time the order was given for Nehemiah to return to build the wall until Jesus would die on the cross would be 483 years, and Bible commentators had calculated that all this was fulfilled at the time when Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem. This part of the prophecy was fulfilled. 493 years out of the 490 years have been fulfilled. There is the parenthesis of the church age. There is another 7 years to be fulfilled. And these 7 years would be the period when tribulation, great tribulation, will come upon Israel. And so you find this 70 period of the vision that Daniel saw divided into 69, a period known as the parenthesis during the church age, and until the times of the fullness of the Gentiles when the church will be raptured up, and then the 69th week will continue with the 70th week at the end, and Israel will be coming in into God's reckoning again. The 70 years of captivity in Babylon fulfilled. The 69 years of Daniel 70 week fulfilled. Jesus Christ himself, when he stood on Mount of Olives and he looked down at Jerusalem, he said, as he looked at the beautiful temple, this temple will soon be destroyed. Not one stone will rest upon it, upon another. And so the disciples asked, when shall these things be? And chapter 24 and verse 3, Jesus answered their question, which is threefold. When shall these things be regarding the temple being destroyed? Where are the signs of Christ's coming, of your coming, second coming of Christ? When shall be the end of the age? Third one. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 answers these three questions. First, he starts with, when shall these things be regarding the destruction of the temple? When the Lord Jesus Christ looked at the temple, it was a very beautiful temple, Herod's temple, very beautiful, very big, and very gorgeous. And the Lord said, you look at this beautiful temple. Not one stone will lie upon the other in time to come. And it was fulfilled in 70 AD when Titus came and destroyed the temple and Jerusalem. Why not one stone will slip upon the other, as I said last week? Because the soldiers were after the gold. The golden items in the temple were all built, were there, and they were burned, and they melted down. And as the gold flowed out among the bricks, all the soldiers were trying to dig out all the bricks, and where everywhere they could find gold, they would find the gold. And the bricks were not allowed to be one on top of another. So the temple was destroyed. And the Jews, many died under the siege of the Roman Emperor, General Rome. And then after that, they were all dispersed. Now, this is different from the dispersion of the Jews under Nebuchadnezzar. Under Nebuchadnezzar, they were deported into Babylon. This one, all the Jews were going to be dispersed throughout the four corners of the world. The four corners of the world. We shall refer to that later on. In the meanwhile, we see Daniel's abomination of desolation referred to in Matthew 24:15. When you see the abomination of desolations spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Matthew 24:15, flee! And they all fled. And they never came back to Jerusalem for many, many years under the dispersion. Jesus had warned them earlier in Matthew 23:37. Jesus had said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You shall not see me until the time come when we shall say, blessed is he that cometh." Yes, the Lord made this prophecy. You will be dispersed and you will not see me until I come again. Now, what is my conclusion now at this moment? I'm not finished yet. I'm halfway only. The conclusion is, the prophecies related to Israel's past have all been fulfilled. The 70 years of deportation from Jerusalem to Babylon, the 70 AD dispersion of the Jews, raising of Jerusalem. Now, why cannot the rest of the prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled be fulfilled? For example, the return of the Jews to Jerusalem and Israel reinstated as a state. That's a promise in the prophecy. We shall see that soon. The coming of Jesus to reign, because the Lord had said, "You will not see me until I come again." And then the end of the age. When shall these things be? When will the end of the age be? All these will come to pass. Because if the first part of the prophecy had been fulfilled, why cannot the second part not fulfill? Why? So, prophecy of Jerusalem's present history being fulfilled. We now see how this is being fulfilled in our time. We are living in momentous times where we can see these prophecies being fulfilled before our very eyes. If we had lived 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we would not be able to see many of these things that we see now with our own eyes. And if we see these things happening with our own eyes, the Lord's coming is very, very near. And if these things have been fulfilled to the letter, why not Christ's coming be fulfilled as well? Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel had a vision. In the valley there were dry bones. And when Ezekiel prophesied, these dry bones began to have flesh. The bones became alive. And he became living again. That's Israel, who were dry bones up to the 1940s. Dry, in a dry desert. Nothing fruitful. But spirit would breathe into the dry bones. And they will come alive. Now, the demise of all ancient civilizations. Babylon, where is it today? No more. In Middle Persia, where is it today? No more. Although Iran is there, but it's not the world empire that it was before. Greece, still there, but not the world empire that it was before. The Romans, not a world empire as well. Israel is here today. And Israel has been existing since Abraham. Then Abraham was born about 2056 BC and lived for 175 years. So dying about 1881, which is about 3,900 years ago. And if you ask me today, how can you prove there is God? The Jew. How can you prove that Bible is true? The Jew. Because the Jew is still existing today. After 3,900 years, it's still existing. The Balfour Declaration, you see how the prophecy is being fulfilled now. This is the beginning. In 1917, we find that Britain recognized the existence of a Jewish community in Palestine and in other parts of the world, that they have a right to exist. Isaiah 11:11. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Petros, from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. This has nothing to do with the deportation to Babylon. Please note, this is the second time. The first time was a deportation to Babylon. Second time, after 70 AD, dispersion to the whole world. And from the whole world, from all these countries, God will bring back Israel. God will bring back the Jews to the land of Palestine, to the Jewish land, to Israel. And that's what happened. Give you another prophecy. Isaiah 11:12. The rising of the ensign. The raising of the ensign. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. God will bring them back from the four corners, that is worldwide dispersion. From there, they will all come back to Israel. They will raise up an ensign, the flag of Israel. And so, independence of Israel was declared 1948, when David Ben-Gurion declared the establishment of a Jewish state in Israel to be known as the State of Israel, Independence Day, that was celebrated 19 April 2018. But they did not have control of Jerusalem. God's promise was they must go back to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was still under control. They were a state in 1948. But in a very miraculous way, when Egypt wanted to annihilate Israel, when Lebanon and Syria on the other side wanted to get rid of Israel, when all these nations in the neighborhood got all their armies and their equipment ready to attack, 6 days, in 6 days, Israel conquered them, all these places, and got back Jerusalem. Jerusalem is God's city. Jerusalem must go back to Israel, and got back Jerusalem. 6 days, and as a result of 6 day war, Israel declared Jerusalem, in Jerusalem Day, to be theirs, and no more to be surrendered. And today we find in the UNESCO resolution that the Muslim countries and United Nations so-called wanted Israel to be free, to be got rid of all heritage connections with Jerusalem. How could it be? How could it be? It could never be. Jerusalem Day was declared. And so, but there's only one thing. There's still another part of prophecy. When Israel, when the Jews would go back to their land, which was a desert, which God had said will be desolation, an astonishment that led they had not flourished. All the time when Israel was away, when one single Jew was away from the land of Israel, all that time that land was a desert. Jordan was controlling the land, Jerusalem. That place was a desert from the Sea of Galilee right down to the Dead Sea. The place was dead. When Israel came back, the place began to blossom as the rose. The root of Jesse, David's root, began to spring up like a rose. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and the rest shall be glorious. Now, this is a fact. You cannot deny it. When the Jews came back to Israel, the desert, that was a desert and a desolation, began to fruit, began to bear fruit, began to blossom as the rose. Water was taken from the depths, from the Sea of Galilee, right down to the Dead Sea, and then that part of the desert began to be, to have a lot of water, and fertilization, agriculture took place. And today, Israel is the world's fruit producer in the world. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. Desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Isaiah 35:1. Now, I have no time, but if you Google for the miracle of Israel, there are a lot of videos showing how the desert began to blossom as the rose. You look up, Google it. The miracle of Israel. There are many videos showing how Israel became very fruitful and prosperous today. And that's why it is the envy of all the other nations around. Why? How come when Israel was out of the land could not be fruitful? The Islamic countries, Jordan was in charge, and Jerusalem never was prosperous. But the moment Israel came back, the whole thing changed. Is there a God? I ask you. But unfortunately, there will be retaliation soon. As we see now, the starting of that retaliation, Zechariah 12:3, Jerusalem shall be a cup of trembling. We find that the people, the other nations, will start attacking Jerusalem. Jerusalem will not enjoy its peace. And we find in the years to come, in the time to come, I'm not sure how many years, in the time to come, we find that the nations will start attacking Jerusalem. God will make Jerusalem the very center and focus of all conflicts. It will become a cup of trembling. And it will be a stumbling block and a burdensome stone to the nations. To the nations. Can you imagine Jerusalem, a small city, suddenly become the very center of all conflicts for all nations to come around? In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. It will become the very center of conflict. All nations will be gathered against it. And all nations that gather against it, they themselves will suffer at the hands of God later on. That is God's prophecy. That's God's promise. The UNESCO resolution is just a start. And what is going on today in Jerusalem is just another step towards the fulfillment of this prophecy. In the end, there will be all the nations gathered together against Jerusalem, a small little city. Finally, it's eschatology, the future days of Jerusalem. What is going to happen? Very quickly, Jerusalem will experience the great tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. All the persecutions, the Holocaust that they experience will be just chicken feed. Because during the great tribulation, God will bring all these nations against them. And it is a great tribulation that has never been, never occurred in the past, and will never happen again. It will be. It was predicted by Zechariah, all nations against Jerusalem to battle, Zechariah chapter 14. I have no time to read all the text, Bible text. You go home and read. Go and visit my website, and all the notes are there. And you can slowly go through all the references. Predicted by Jesus. Oh, Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And Jesus said, you will not see me again until I come. As predicted by John the Apostle in Revelation chapter 6 to 19 about the Great Tribulation period. Predicted by Daniel is a time of trouble such as never was and never will be. It's a terrible Great Tribulation. It is not the persecution of the Jews. It is not the Holocaust. It is much, much worse, never happened before and will never happen again. Jerusalem when Christ comes. Predicted by Zechariah, chapter 12. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was under pressure, then Christ will come to deliver his elect. Predicted by John. Then Revelation 19, 11, 16. When Christ will come down from heaven and will save his people, the Jews. Jerusalem, and then after that, there will be a 1,000-year reign of peace upon earth, known as the millennium. And we see Jerusalem in the millennium, predicted by Zechariah chapter 14, then we see, it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, the Dead Sea, and half of them toward the Hinder Sea, Mediterranean Sea, the whole area there, in summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. God, will, the Lord, will gather all the people together and they will come and honor him in Jerusalem. Predicted by Zechariah chapter 14. That was finished. Also predicted by Isaiah in chapter 11. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. There shall be no more than one an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days, for the child shall be 100 years old. If the child is 100 years old, the old man will be how many years old? I don't know. Older than Mahathir. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall die. I shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together and the little child shall lead them. There will be environmental changes. Nature, the animals in the kingdom all will be friendly again. No more animosity. As predicted by Ezekiel, afterward he brought me to the temple. A temple will be rebuilt. A third temple will be established. The first temple was destroyed. The second temple was destroyed. And then the third temple will be built. Now the third temple today is supposedly under the Dome of the Rock. Alright? So, under that mosque, today, we know and we have proof Israel is starting to do some construction under that mosque, and then there is now proof that they are starting to construct a temple. So a temple is secretly under construction now, under the temple. And that's why the Islamic nations are very against it, because they know of this secret construction that is going on. Predicted by John, this will be the reign of Christ for 1,000 years in the millennium. So, last one. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem will be in heaven. Revelation 21:2. And as John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, not the old one, it will be destroyed. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem is called the holy city, described as the city of my God, the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 3 verse 12. We are marching to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. We are there, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men and made perfect. The Old Testament saints will be there, the spirits of just men made perfect. They will be there. Old Testament saints will be there. Abraham will be there. Samuel will be there. David will be there. We shall be there. And all of us will be in heavenly Jerusalem. How great. Let me meet you there if I go first. Amen. Hallelujah.